Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva La Verve.
Today we are talking about the topic you hoped we would be talking about when you drove in, being persecuted for our faith. Yay! I thought you guys might do a wave or something. Something would happen. No? Oh, okay. So the year was 1517, and basically the only church was the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church had a lot of power, and there was a lot that was wrong. In fact, a Christian named Martin Luther identified 95 things he believed were wrong and anti-biblical. He put them on paper and nailed them to the door of the church. He was then ordered by the Pope to recant everything he had written or face the consequences. He responded, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other." He was declared a heretic. He was excommunicated from the church, and he was forced to spend the rest of his life in hiding. Before him, way back in 155 AD, there was a man named Polycarp, and Polycarp was arrested for being a Christian, for having faith, and he was brought to the middle of town to be executed. He was told, "Curse Christ, and you will live." Polycarp said, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How dare I deny my king who has saved me?" They set him on fire, burned him at the stake, and for good measure drove a spear through him. Even before that, we see in the Bible the very first Christians, and they were persecuted for their faith. In fact, some, like a guy named Philip, were actually killed just for talking about Jesus. And history tells us that 11 of Jesus' 12 original disciples were all executed for their faith. Now, some people might wonder, if God is real and God loves us, why would he allow that to happen to his followers? He actually said it would happen to his followers. He said that if you follow him, he'll lead you into trouble. John 16:33, we'll put all the Bible verses on the screen. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And Jesus actually promised even more than that. Check out what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Righteousness means to be in right relationship with God. It means to do right things for God. And Jesus says, if you're persecuted for that, you'll be blessed. The word blessed can also be translated happy. So if you're persecuted for God, you'll be happy. Huh? We're starting a new teaching series today called Making Lemonade. So we just did a series called Looking Through My Jesus Shades on what are called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are 8 sayings of Jesus from the beginning of his first and longest and most famous sermon. And of these 8, 3 are negative. They're like things that we would not want to have happen to us because they're bad. But Jesus tells us that those negative things can actually be a blessing in our lives. So in this series, Making Lemonade, we're going to look at those 3 particular Beatitudes and see how this can play out in our lives. Today, blessed are those who are persecuted, which does not sound right. But it's kind of like Jesus was preparing his followers. He also said in John 15:18, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." It's really strange. Jesus was loving and gracious and compassionate, and there were some who still hated him and persecuted him. And if you follow Jesus, there will be some who hate you and persecute you. God tells us that, 2 Timothy 3:12, that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And that's not just something that used to happen, that's something that still happens today. For instance, in India. So our church has supported a mission in India called CICM, Central India Christian Mission. In 2007, a pastor named Sanjay from CICM was traveling to remote villages with his wife, and he was sharing Jesus with people. They had never heard of Jesus. They were interested. They wanted to hear, but this husband and wife were attacked by Hindu extremists. Sanjay's wife was beaten to death, and Sanjay was left for dead, but he was actually in a coma and awoke several days later to find out his wife had been killed. In 2008, Hindu extremists set 285 church buildings on fire, killed 2,000 Christians. One of the people they killed was one of the pastors of those churches. His wife tells what happened. She said men burst into their house, tied her and her husband up, And then they made them watch as these men raped their daughters. And then they cut their daughters into pieces. And then they took the husband, the pastor, and they tied him to a big rock and they threw him into a lake where he drowned. This wife, this mother, had to watch all that. She's obviously scarred by it. But when she was asked about what happened, here's what she said. We are willing to suffer and die for Jesus. We will not compromise. We will continue to share Jesus Christ because people are dying who are lost without Christ. So we will choose persecution instead of praise. We will choose harassment instead of honor. We will choose abuse instead of applause. We will choose death instead of dignity because we want to continue to live and be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? When you know who Jesus is and you experience his love, you find something worth living for, something worth dying for. My wife and I went to India 2 years ago, and we got to spend a lot of time with a lot of these Christians who have had unbelievable horrors happen to them just because of their faith. One of the things that amazed us was that despite all that had happened, and their faith has not wavered. And you could see that though they had been scarred by witnessing these things, experiencing these things, at the same time, all of them had this inner joy. You could see more joy in them than you see in Christians here in America. In fact, there was this one woman who we talked to, she had experienced horrible things. And we asked her, my wife said, what can we pray for you? And she said, don't pray that the persecution stops. Don't pray for that. Don't pray for the persecution to stop. Look at the rest of what Jesus said in that sermon with this beatitude, Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says, when you're persecuted, rejoice and be glad, because believe it or not, Jesus says, there is blessing, there is happiness in being persecuted. Why? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because when you're persecuted, it's then that you know that you are really following Jesus. Or maybe it's because when you're persecuted, it feels like God is with you in a special way. Like you can sense his presence with you in a way you rarely do. At one time when I was in college, I mentioned to a coworker at the movie theater I was working at that I was a Christian. I was a brand new Christian. That was like kind of a cool thing for me to say. I was like, I'm a Christian. And he started cursing at me and insulting me and calling me names. It was like weird. But for some reason, it felt like God was with me in that moment. And man, there was this joy in that. I then went to law school, And one day at the end of the first year of law school, one of our professors, civil law, he told us the final exam that he was going to give us was the same exact exam he used in 1984. He asked if anyone had a copy of that exam, because there were old exams people would use to study. And he said if anyone had a copy of it, he wouldn't use it because we would know all the answers. Everyone said they didn't have it. A couple days later, I was studying. I realized I had a copy of that exam that a study group had given me. Then I started talking to people, discovered everyone had a copy of the exam, and no one was telling. I did. Now, I could have had an easy A, but it would have been wrong. And so I went to the professor. I said, hey, I have a copy of that old exam. And the other students, all of the other students were not happy with me. I was not popular. But man, it felt like God was with me in that moment. There was joy in that. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. You know, I think some Christians worry that someday they might be persecuted for their faith. But I would say, based on what the Bible teaches, we should be worried if we're not. Because God says we will be. People who follow Jesus will be persecuted. If we never are, perhaps we're not following Jesus as closely as we should. Now, I want to be clear about something. There are some people who say they're Christians who go out looking for persecution. They're obnoxious about their faith. They're abrasive. They're judgmental. Some of these people you can find on street corners. And then if people oppose them, they feel proud of themselves because they're suffering for Jesus. No, that is not what Jesus is talking about. We are taught to always be loving and kind and gracious towards others. That's how we're to treat people. That's how we're to talk about our faith. But the truth is, even if we do, even if we are loving and kind, persecution may still happen. And if it does, you're blessed. You're blessed. So, how do we apply this? Like, should we be like, all right, guys, let's go get persecuted. Let's do... No. And my fear is that we just won't apply this, that we'll think, well, persecution is like something that happened a long time ago or in faraway places today. Doesn't happen for us in our culture, and so let's just kind of throw this one away. And so to help us apply it, I want us to think about this just a little bit different. Persecution can seem like such an extreme word, and we can't choose to go be persecuted. So let's talk about being uncomfortable. Let's talk about getting outside of our comfort zone. That's not so extreme, and we can choose to be uncomfortable. In fact, if you are never uncomfortable because of your faith, then you probably need to take an honest, probing look at your faith, because we may not get persecuted in our culture because of our faith, but we should definitely have times where we are uncomfortable because of our faith. I think this is a really hard concept for us to grasp in our culture, because we tend to measure how blessed we are by how comfortable we are, right? Like, isn't it true? Like, in fact, our entire economy seems to be based on this. Like, every commercial you see promises that your life can be easier and more comfortable, right? Buy this minivan. It's got 8 cup holders. Your life will be better. Come on, right? Or our new airplanes give you more leg room. Your life will be better. Come on. Or this Lazy Boy recliner now has a refrigerator built into the side. Your life will be better. Well, that would totally make my life better. Like, that would be awesome. I want that. I want that one, right? But there's this idea, the more comfortable I am, the more blessed I am. No, that is not true. Comfort does not equal blessing. The truth is, comfort isn't even healthy for you. This has been proven. It's actually dangerous. So there were all kinds of studies. One was researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, did a study with an amoeba. They put this amoeba in perfect stress-free conditions. Ideal temperature, right amount of moisture, a constant source of food. That they wanted to see how much does an amoeba thrive if everything is exactly right. The amoeba died. It died. And the conclusion of all this research was, it's true for the amoeba, and it's true for us. When our conditions are easy and perfect, we won't grow. We won't thrive. Actually, comfort is dangerous. We need to be challenged. And Jesus makes it clear, a blessed life is one lived outside of your comfort zone, where you are far enough outside that you realize this could go bad. this might go bad. And I might get persecuted. I might be made fun of. And you see this all through the Bible. When people choose to follow God, He always leads them outside their comfort zone. And when they follow Him outside their comfort zone, that's when they're blessed. You may not be familiar with the Bible. One of the cool things about our church is we get people with all kinds of faith backgrounds, people who have no faith background, just kind of investigating. So you may not know these stories, but Noah. So Noah could have kept his comfortable, normal life, or he could follow God and build an ark. To do what God asked, he had to leave his comfort zone, and he did, and he was ridiculed, and he was mocked. But man, he experienced God's blessing. Moses could have kept his comfortable, normal life, or he could follow God by going to the Pharaoh, the king, the most powerful man in the world, and demanding that he let God's people go and let him lead them out of slavery. To do what God asked, he had to leave the comfort zone, and he did. And he was persecuted, and he experienced God's blessing. Earlier, David mentioned Peter. So Peter could have kept his comfortable, normal life, or he could follow Jesus, leaving his job, leaving his career, having no idea where Jesus might lead him. To do what God wanted, he had to leave the comfort zone, and he did. And he spent almost every day the rest of his life in danger. And man, he experienced God's blessing in the most amazing ways. Maybe you hear all that and you think, oh, okay, I get it. I need to be challenged. I need to get out of my comfort zone so I can experience blessing and happiness. But what does that look like for me? What would I need to actually do this? Maybe for some of you, just being at church today is way outside your comfort zone. Maybe you haven't been to church in years or ever. Maybe you came by yourself today and you're nervous. And I know how that feels because I was in exactly that position in my early 20s when I went to church for the first time. And I just think it is so cool that you are here today. And I know the courage it takes. And I hope that you find God's blessing here. But for others of us, it's not being at church. That's not outside your comfort zone. And maybe you're not sure what is outside your comfort zone. How exactly do you know where your comfort zone ends? When are you leaving it? I think the answer is fear, right? Fear. Fear tells you when you're getting close to the edge of your comfort zone. You read about the people who followed Jesus, they were always experiencing fear. Now, as they followed Jesus, it's like that fear subsided and was replaced by faith. But at first, always fear. Here's one of tons of examples. Mark chapter 10, verse 32. It says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. So here's a question I think we need to consider. When was the last time following Jesus produced fear in me? When was the last time following Jesus produced a healthy kind of fear in me? Because there's something wrong if I'm following Jesus and fear is never a factor and courage never needs to be called upon. One way you know that you're really following Jesus is that he will lead you out of your comfort zone, and so you will experience fear. This is what Jesus did with everyone who chose to follow him. And so it's not going to be different for us. I'll show you one example from the Bible. So in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking to this crowd of people who are all interested in maybe following this guy, kind of like us, right? And Jesus says to them, all right, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, figuratively, not literally, and follow me. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, then you can follow. That is the opposite of comfort, right? Comfort says, sit back and relax. Jesus says, get up and follow. Comfort says, spoil yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. So after Jesus says that, there's this one guy in the crowd who goes up to him and says that he wants to follow. Check it out, Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Did you notice he said, wherever? I like that because wherever means there's no zone, right? I'm not staying in a zone. Like, I will follow you wherever. So what does Jesus say to the person who says, I will follow you wherever? Next verse. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, that's what he calls himself a lot, has no place to lay his head. The man says, I'll follow you wherever. Jesus says, cool, I hope you're not real attached to beds, because where I'm going, there's no bed. Posturepedic? No. Sleep? No. My pillow? No. There's no beds. What happens next in the story is that this guy steps back from the commitment he was about to make, and he steps away from following Jesus. He said, wherever. Turns out it wasn't wherever. It was like, I want to be in my comfort zone. That's where I will follow you. And Jesus says, then you can't. Jesus always leads us outside of our comfort zone. And so I wonder for you, right now, at this place in your life, where is Jesus calling you out of your comfort zone? It might be, perhaps, that he is calling you to be a spiritual leader in your home. And that may be intimidating for you to think about, like, praying with your spouse or your kids, or talking about what God's doing in your life or what God wants for our family, reading the Bible together. It might be intimidating, but it is what God's called you to do. For others of you, the comfort zone that God might be calling you out of is in your neighborhood. Because you are not the kind of person who just, like, goes over and introduces yourself, and you're not the kind of person who invites people into your home. But Jesus says that we are to love our neighbors, and you can't love people you don't know. And I get it, because I'm not the type of person who goes over and introduces myself to neighbors or invites people into my home. But I chose to follow Jesus, so I don't have a choice. I signed up for that, and so we've had all of our neighbors over a couple times. Just last week, we have a new neighbor, and I went over to his house and hung out with him for a while. That's what we do. Maybe you're a student, and you're about to go to school, back to school here in a week or so, and maybe it would be outside your comfort zone, maybe way outside, to walk around with a Bible at school, or to say a prayer before you eat your lunch in the cafeteria, or to befriend that kid who no one wants to be friends with. You're afraid that if you do any of those things, maybe other kids will start to avoid you, or they might make fun of you. And hopefully they won't. But Jesus says, if they do, you'll be blessed. You'll discover that there's actually blessing. There's happiness in that. Could be for others of us, it's about our finances. It's interesting. God talks more about our money and what we should do with it than any other topic in the Bible. He says that we are to give consistently and generously back to him, but for some reason, a lot of Christians feel like it's okay for them to not do that. Now, what I understand is, yeah, it's scary. It is scary to think about giving away a chunk of your income. It's like, how can I live off of less? I struggle to live off of all of it. But you're supposed to be afraid. Everyone who follows Jesus is afraid. Fear is not an excuse to not do what God has called you to do. Fear is a sign that you're actually following Jesus and that you are on the path to blessing. Or maybe for you, maybe Jesus is calling you out of your comfort zone at work. But like perhaps you've worked at the same place for a while and nobody there really knows that you're a Christian because you don't talk about that, you don't mention that, because you don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable, and you know it would make you feel uncomfortable, and so you just don't bring it up. But God put you in that workplace for a purpose. And he put those people in your life so that they could hear about Jesus and experience God's love through you. So you could invite them here to church. And I get it. I get that it's scary. And you can let fear stop you, right? You can choose to keep your comfortable, normal life. Or you can follow God and do what he's asked you to do and leave your comfort zone. And you may get persecuted. You may get made fun of. But you will experience God's blessing. And it will be worth it. You will live a blessed life, and you will discover that outside of your comfort zone is where real happiness lies. One of my personal groups of heroes comes from back in the early 1800s. They were called one-way missionaries. They were people who packaged up all of their earthly belongings in a coffin and then took that coffin. They would purchase one-way tickets to the place that they felt like God was calling them to be a missionary, and they did that because they knew they would never return. Best case scenario was that they would be accepted by the people there, and they'd be able to live with them and share God and his love with them. But often what happened was that they were considered a threat, this foreigner showing up, and so they were just killed immediately upon arrival. Either way, they had a coffin. One of those missionaries was named A.W. Milne. A.W. Milne felt called to a tribe of headhunters in the New Hebrides. A bunch of people had felt called to that same tribe. Every single would-be missionary to that tribe showed up and was killed first day. But that did not stop A.W. Milne from going to that same tribe. He showed up, and they actually accepted him. He lived with that tribe for 35 years, never returned home. When the tribe buried him, they wrote the following epitaph on his tombstone. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. I don't know when it happened, but at some point, Christians started to think that we could follow Jesus and be comfortable at the same time. At some point, we decided, hey, following Jesus and comfort, they can go together. No, they really can't. It's just not how it works, and it doesn't take faith, and Jesus will always call us out of our comfort zone. If you're always comfortable, you can't be following Jesus. And I feel like I should say that maybe as a church, we're partially responsible for this because we want you to be comfortable. And so we try to create a comfortable place. And we get concerned if the service goes a little bit too long or if people complain that the music is too loud or that the room is too cold. No one here has ever complained that the room is too cold. If you come for a while, you'll get the joke. People always complain that the room is too cold. So if we're partly to blame for trying to create a comfortable environment, I apologize. I'm sorry. Because listen, God is not going to bless you by giving you a comfortable life. He's going to call you out of your comfort zone, and you just can't follow Jesus and stay comfortable. And Jesus might lead you to a place where you might even get persecuted, and you might not want that. But you should, because there's blessing in that. And there's happiness there. So we're going to give you just a few minutes to think about all of this. And our band is going to play one more song through which we can worship God together. But during this time of worship, we also have communion available on the candlelit tables around the room. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. They remind us that Jesus left the comfort zone of heaven to come to earth to die for us. He gave up his life so that we could have life. And that life he died for us to live is a life of following him outside of our comfort zone and into blessing. On your way out today, you're going to see there's a high top table right there, and there's a bunch of sealed envelopes inside of it. Inside each envelope is a piece of paper with six different get outside of your comfort zone challenges. If you would like, and I hope you will, you can take one of those envelopes today. By taking an envelope, you're committing to do one of those six challenges. You can do more if you want. Here's the catch. I'm not going to tell you what's on the paper. Like, you're going to commit to doing one of those things, but you're not going to know what it is that you're committing to do, which is kind of uncomfortable, right? It's supposed to be. It's supposed to get you outside your comfort zone. And so if you'd like, you can take one of those on your way out, but don't take one unless you're really committing to do one of those six things. Listen, God wants you to live a blessed life, but the blessing doesn't happen in your comfort zone. Happiness comes when you follow Jesus and do uncomfortable things for him. So let's pray that we can find bravery in him and do that. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a God who is for us. And you love us. You love us more than we love ourselves. You want a great life for us. And that's why you call us out of our comfort zone and into something dangerous. And it's scary out there, but it takes faith. And you want us to live by faith. And we discover that there is blessing out there. There's happiness to be found in maybe the place we'd least expect it. God, would you help us to be brave, to not muster up courage from within, but to look in your eyes, to know you and your love, and find the faith to do what you're calling us to do. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus who came for us, lived for us, and died for us. We pray in his name. Amen.